Let us pray. O God, whose Spirit inspired the Holy Scriptures, may that same Spirit illumine our minds and instruct our wills, that hearing we may also believe and obey. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Scripture lesson today is taken from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. Hear the word of the Lord. They came to Jericho, and as he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So, throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go. Your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. The word of the Lord. By the time Jesus got to Jericho, Bartimaeus already had three strikes against him. First, he was blind, and back then that was not only a physical handicap, but a moral one as well, because people universally believed that if a person was blind, they must have been a terrible sinner, and now God was judging them. They weren't right, of course, but that's what they believed. So if God had struck Bartimaeus blind, it must be the punishment for his sin. And why should anyone else give him the time of day? Second, Bartimaeus was a beggar, and that meant that his own family had disowned him. Well, why else would he be out on the streets? He was begging because he had no other means of support, least of all from his own family. So if his parents and siblings were unwilling to support him, why should anyone else? Third, he didn't even have a real name. They called him Bartimaeus, and the prefix Bar means son of, and Timaeus means impure or unclean. So Bartimaeus is more of a nickname than a real name, because it meant son of impurity, child of uncleanness. How would you like to put a name like that on your next job application? Reminds me of a good friend, a Presbyterian minister, who when she was typing up her own wedding bulletin a few years ago, was in such a hurry that she didn't select an Old Testament lesson. So she pulled out last Sunday's bulletin from the worship service, and she took the reference there, and she put it into her wedding bulletin without first reading what the text said. You can imagine her shock when, during her wedding, the reader intoned from the lectern these words from Isaiah 51, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity." "And in sin did my mother conceive me." And her mother was sitting right there. Can you imagine how she felt? Now, for Cinda and her mother, the shock was momentary. They had a good laugh afterward, but for Bartimaeus, the pain was lifelong. No matter what he said, no matter what he did, no matter where he went, he could not shake off that nickname, son of impurity, child of uncleanness. So he was blind, he was a beggar, and he was branded with a pejorative nickname, three strikes. But before you count him out, I want to tell you that though he could not see, he could still shout. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." The Greek word for shout out is kraxo, which sounds very much like our English word croak. And that's just what the ancient Greeks meant to convey when they coined this word. They were describing the raucous croaking of a raven. And in this text, the word describes the harsh, grating prayer of a desperate man. But do we dare call this a prayer? Shouldn't prayer be polite and courteous? Shouldn't we use respectful language when we're addressing God? Ah, but listen to the psalmist. "I call upon thee, I kraxo thee, I croak to thee, for thou wilt answer me, O God." And again, "In thee our fathers trusted, they trusted in thee, and thou didst deliver them. To thee they cried, they kraxoed, they croaked, and they were saved." And listen to Jesus when Bartimaeus kept croaking at him, "Call him here. Summon him. Bring him to me. Clear a path so that I can help this croaking man." Have you come to this service with a burden too heavy to carry? And with a habit too strong to break? Are you sitting here this morning with doubts too dark to admit and with pain too deep to describe? I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ hears our cries, however raucous or incoherent. When you pray, you need not speak with a cultured voice. Don't have to worry about your grammar. Don't think about your vocabulary. Just open your heart and cry out to God. Rest assured that the Christ who heard the raucous cry of Bartimaeus will hear you, even if your prayer is little more than a croak. Now turn with me, if you will, from his croak to his cloak. Throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. That cloak was very important to Bartimaeus. That cloak was what he spread out in front of him every day on the sidewalk to catch the few coins that people would throw at him. That cloak was his tin cup. It was his violin case, such as we see at the entrance to the metro from time to time. That cloak was the badge of his beggary. It was the source of his meager income. And without doubt, there must have been a part of Bartimaeus that preferred to hang on to that cloak, to stick with the status quo, to rely on the familiar rather than to risk the unknown. For if Jesus did heal him, what would he do? He had very little education. He had very little work experience. He had no patron to fund his future. So perhaps he ought to hang on to that cloak, because better is the enemy that you know than the friend that you don't know. Are you hanging on to your cloak today? Do you hesitate to apply for a promotion at work because you're afraid you will fail and you will be so embarrassed in front of your colleagues? Are you living with a physical disorder and you're suffering that disorder because, after all, surgery is so painful? Having come through a divorce, are you now unwilling to open your heart and your life to a new commitment? You're just not sure that you can do that again. My good friends in Alcoholics Anonymous know that no one can really be helped until they first throw off their cloak. That's not quite how they put it. But the first step in the 12-step program is very similar. It says this: we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. To admit that you're powerless, that's the first step, and that's to throw off your cloak. That's turning away from self-captivity, whether to sickness or to sin or to alcohol or to drugs or to sex or whatever it may be. That's admitting that you need to give up the guilt that you have over your past and your fears of the future. Bartimaeus threw off his cloak. He got rid of his psychological crutch once and for all because he recognized he didn't need it anymore if he would just spring up and go to Jesus. And that's what he did. And having come to Jesus, having believed that Jesus could help him and heal him, he walked away, seeing once again. You and I make difficult what is essentially simple. We try to purchase joy at the mall when genuine joy is absolutely free. We read motivational books written by persons as imperfect as we are when all the while the inspired Word of God is sitting on our shelf gathering dust. We travel to exotic places searching for esoteric revelations when salvation is just as near as falling on our knees. We go to great lengths to find life when the first step is simple: come to Jesus. Place your life in Jesus' hands. Pour out your problems to Jesus' ear. Accept the acceptance that Jesus offers. Trust in the promises that Jesus makes. Go out and do what Jesus bids you to do. Like Bartimaeus, come to Jesus. Plato once said that we are all like leaky pots. He said there's a hole in the very core of our being so that whatever we put into ourselves soon drains away. And yet we spend our years buying and searching and striving and testing, trying to fill up what is in essence nothing more than a leaky pot. There is only one stopper that will plug that leak. There is only one ingredient that will fill that void. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. If you have never done it, throw off your cloak and come to Jesus. He wants very much to say to you, go. Your faith has made you well.